The epistle is taken from Paul's second letter to the Corinthians, chapter 9, verses 6 to 15. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, he has scattered abroad his gift to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. Now, he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be made rich in every way, so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of God's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Because of the service by which you have proved yourselves, men will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ, and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. And in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace God has given to you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. This is the word of the Lord.
Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke. And he told them this parable. The ground of a certain rich man produced a good crop. He thought to himself, what shall I do? I have no place to store my crops. Then he said, this is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and there I will store all my grain and all my goods. And I'll say to myself, you have plenty of good things laid up for many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, you fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? This is how it will be with anyone who stores up things for himself, but is not rich towards God. This is the gospel of the Lord.
May I speak in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Do please take a seat. Well, for those of you who are visiting or perhaps weren't here last weekend, having had a reminder of the vision of the church for the first three Sundays in September, last Sunday we had Serving Sunday, where I spoke about, hopefully just to encourage those of you who are not already serving in some way to serve in some capacity in the church, if you're able to, that is. And this Sunday, it's our annual reminder about stewardship, about giving, about our finances. And I know Judith and Ron are away in America at the moment, but I know she is very keen that once a year, everyone is reminded about this. Sort of probably less sort of critical for this particular service, because you're very regular, so you probably know all this, but it's actually really important that the other two services, where we constantly have new people coming through, and so it's quite possible for them to have been in the church almost a whole year and have not heard any talk about giving. So, but I need to be fair and equal across all the different services, so you're going to hear it, your annual reminder. But of course, it's harvest. And it's a time, I imagine, when traditionally, it's a time of year where there's a collective sigh of relief. We've lost this connection with the earthiness of literally living off what the ground produced. You know, if heaven forbid our farmers have a really bad harvest, I suspect although prices would rise, we would still be able to find all the food we need on the shelves in Tesco. But of course, in the past, that would not have been the case at all. So this is a time when traditionally there was great celebrating, assuming that is there was a good harvest, a time of great celebration. There was going to be enough food in the storehouse for us to be able to survive through the winter. And so it was a time of merrymaking and celebratory meals. We have traditionally had a harvest supper here and a harvest barn dance, but I think because of the parish weekend, we're all sort of too exhausted to organize yet more events. But next year we will have those again. And traditionally we have bought in our gifts of produce, and in days gone by the church would have redistributed those gifts to those in need, much like we will be redistributing your gifts here this morning to those in need. And so harvest is not just a time to give thanks, it's a time to give as well, as these items down here and the ones given at the 9:30 earlier are testimony to. And so our giving is important. And Steve read to us in our passage from Corinthians chapter 9, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. And I just want to start by saying, I think we have all, you have all given generously. You've all sown generously. Never underestimate what we as a church family have achieved through your generosity. So let's start abroad. St. George's Church in Baghdad, which has been pretty much under siege in the recent upheaval, which interestingly was hardly reported in the press, but it was apparently terrifying at the time. £4,000 has winged its way out there and will be supporting their medical center, the only place in Baghdad which gives out free medical support irrespective of faith. Now if you're a Muslim, that's fine. I'm sure you can go and see a doctor free of charge out there. But it's very different for those of other faiths, and in particular Christianity. Your money, your gifts, have helped train ordinands in India at the Union Biblical Seminary to go out and to plant churches in India at great danger to themselves. You've contributed to the work of Open Doors, who support the persecuted church. You've supported Emma Cottrell as she uses creativity to bring healing and hope to people in Romania and Israel and in her created creatively ministry here. You've also supported Mercy Ships in response to the Thorntons' efforts. And closer to home, you've supported the food bank. We have an SOS center down at the center in Verney Close. Last year, interestingly, it was only used once for one night for one homeless person. Previous to that, it was used a huge amount. I don't know why, but we need to be ready. You know, we provide sleeping bags, all that kind of stuff. We need to be ready this year. And then there's the community lunch. I know a lot of you come to the community lunch. Your financial support helps us to run the center down in Verney Close with its tea and chat, coffee and chat, space for all sorts of support groups. It takes money to run the center, so your giving goes to support that. We're running a ministry aimed at young mothers who are struggling for a variety of reasons. And we're also running now a life skills course for young, mainly young mums who literally they don't have the life skills needed to make ends meet. A lot of them, you know, they spend a huge amount of money on ready meals because they've come from dysfunctional families where they've just been thrown money to go and get fish and chip takeaway. Nobody's ever actually taught them how to cook to a budget. So we're doing that as well. And you know, the fantastic news is, those of you on Facebook will have been aware of this, but the response to the broken stained glass window. So the bad news is, the stained glass window over there got smashed as somebody attempted to break into the church. Couple of thousand pounds worth of damage. Our excess on our insurance policy is very high, because otherwise the premium would be eye-watering. So we would have had to have, you know, paid for that out of our own funds. But there's been an outpouring of support for the church on Facebook. It's been so wonderful to see. And of course, there have been the naysayers who said, "Oh, don't you know, why on earth are you giving the church some money? They're so rich. Don't you know that the church commissioners are sitting on £93 million, etc., etc." And before I've had to disabuse these people of their sort of ignorant position, other people have come piling in who don't come to the church, saying, "Don't speak negatively about Buckingham Parish Church. It's our church. They're doing an amazing job in the community, etc., etc." It has been so heartwarming that we are making a difference out there. And that is because of you. It's because of how you serve, and it's because of how you give financially as well. Verse 9, "As it is written, they have freely scattered their gifts to the poor. Their righteousness endures forever." Isn't that wonderful? This is we're doing exactly what Paul is encouraging us to do. We don't always get it right. I'm sure their food parcels and stuff have gone out to people who, if we digged a little deeper, perhaps didn't quite deserve it. But it's important that we do what we do. And your giving funds a dedicated member of staff who does pastoral care. Some of you will know her. It's a very unsung ministry. It goes on in the background. Jo Wigley, she's amazing. We've invested in employing a children's worker. We're now in the top 20 of churches in the C of E in England in terms of our average Sunday attendance with kids. I mean, that is remarkable. It is absolutely remarkable. In one sense, it's quite depressing. I'd have been very happy to be in the top 200s, so that it would be 199 churches doing even better than us. But anyway, you know, let's give praise where it's due. We've got a wonderful youth worker, Lara, who's looking after the 11-15 kids upstairs now. Such a crucial role helping our young people navigate all the pitfalls that await them in our broken world. Then there's a schools ministry. You know, I could go on. The fruit is all there to see. We have the physical fruit down here, but all the spiritual fruit is there to see. And we can only afford these staff posts because of your generosity. And and you know, that's just the paid posts. There's a huge number of you, I mean, this was really what we were talking about last Sunday, who serve for no pay at all. And I hope those of you who do serve last Sunday felt thoroughly appreciated by what I said. But I'm just, you know, today we're talking about finances. And then, of course, there's our magnificent old building that we hold so dear. I was remembering in the rain this morning, when I arrived, you can still see the stains on that pillar. I remember there were buckets out there in 2010 because we needed a new roof. And somebody said to me before I arrived, "Yeah, £60,000, that's all." They didn't want to put me off coming here. And then after I'd arrived, said, "Well, Will, there's something we need to tell you. It's actually £250,000. But we raised it. You raised it. You gave. And you can sit next to that pillar now and remain dry despite the bad weather. But this old building does need looking after. We need to re-tarmac the area around the war memorial. So the good news was we proved our claim to the ownership of the tarmac area around church. The bad news is we have to maintain it. But actually, it's so much more important that we have claimed that land as the churches, so we can park on it and all the rest of it. So I hope And pray that you can see that we need your continued financial support. And, you know, as we continue to grow, so we need to continue to raise more funds to cater for that growth. The office, for example, with its wonderful team of volunteers, I'm sure they won't mind me saying this, but, you know, they're creaking at the seams in there. You know, this isn't the size of church that it was even 5 years ago. There's so much more going on now, and there's new technology and stuff. So I hope we might be able to find somebody very part-time, but who has the right technical and IT skills, you know, to work databases and stuff to assist in the office. But that's going to cost money. So every year we look at giving just as a reminder. And I know that some people will be thinking, oh, Will, all he does is he's hitting us over the head to give more, serve more. I don't think I do that. I think I remind you from time to time, but I certainly don't hit anyone over the head. And I start with a pastoral caveat, is I totally accept that there are times and seasons where people really, really struggle financially. And if that's you, then that's fine. You're kind of off the hook for all sorts of reasons. I don't want to add to your difficulties. In Mark 12, we see this wonderful picture of a poor widow who comes in with two very small copper coins. You know, this is the parable of the widow's mite. And Jesus says to his disciples, truly I tell you, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. They all gave out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything, all she had to live on. It's a wonderful picture. God sees what we give. He understands what we can and what we cannot give. He knows what we have to keep to live on. And our gospel shows us, of course, the very opposite of that. The rich farmer who's called foolish, who piles up his material wealth. And this is at a time when you couldn't but not see all the people in need. You know, I think today a lot of people in need are hidden from us. It's not a daily reality. It might be if we're commuting into London and we're constantly passing homeless people who got any change, you know, sort of thing. But I think generally it can pass us all by. Back then, all the poor would have been in our faces. And yet this rich man, instead of thinking, oh, I'm going to use all this extra crop, extra harvest to go and help some people out, all he thinks about is building more barns. And he's told that he's a fool because this very night his life will be demanded of him. We're warned not to pile up material wealth. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on the earth where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. You see, God sees what we can and what we cannot give. So I guess, to use a secular term, if the cap fits, wear it. Okay? Paul writes, each of you should give what you've decided in your heart to give. Not what the vicar tells you to give. Please understand that. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. How awful would it be as if on your birthday your precious, precious child gave you a present begrudgingly? Do you know what? If a child of mine did that to me, if there was no smile on their face, I'd probably say, do you know what? Why don't you just hang on to that? I'd rather not receive that gift. I'd much rather have a gift of far less worth that was given with a great big smile on your face and with joy in your heart. And I think that's exactly how God works. And he goes on to say, verse 12, this service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of the Lord's people. Well, we can see that. We're supplying the needs of the Lord's people. So I hope that you can see your giving really is supplying the needs of the Lord's people. So, I just wanted to finish by saying, remember that everything ultimately belongs to God. It's a challenge, this one. It's a real challenge, because when I look at my bank statement and I'm trying to save up for something, a new stainless steel exhaust for my new Land Rover that's nearly ready, I'm thinking, this is my money, I've earned it, I'm going to spend it how I want to spend it. Wrong. It's God's money. Somebody asked to borrow my car the other day, and I just said with that thinking, of course you can borrow my car. And they said, well, that's very kind of you. I said, it's not my car. It's God's car. God has given me, has blessed me with this car. And if you want to use it on God's business, that's between you and God. We need to remember everything comes from God. Then God is generous. We sung about it in one of those hymns. Everything, all the glories of creation is from God. We have a generous God. And we give because giving is an issue of the heart. It's like a spiritual barometer. My goodness me, have I been guilty of this. Okay? When you find yourself really not wanting to give, being stingy with God, it is like a barometer on the level of your spirituality and your closeness with the Lord. And we give as an expression of gratitude to the Lord. Giving is always a challenge. I've got to be honest, it's always a challenge. There's always other stuff we could spend our money on. A holiday, a new kitchen, stuff like that. There's always stuff we could spend our money on. It's always a challenge, and it's never easy. If you give nothing, try and give something. If you give rarely, try and give regularly. If you give regularly, perhaps try and commit to some kind of a tithe, which is a set percentage every month, and review it every year. It certainly should go up with inflation because of all our costs go up with inflation. And then if you're doing that, then give extravagantly. Amen.